6 seconds left. Halla gets it up top. Marcius over to the right. Big shot! Score! Shay Theodore! Vegas takes the lead 4-3! 2.3 to go! Perron to the circle. He shoots and scores! David Perron wins it! Up top for Kopitar. Feet to the right. Shot! Stopped by Fleury!
Shay Theodore is fourth and a huge hit by McNabb. He leveled Arvidsson. Wow.
Here's Howell into the zone. Howell left side, drop pass, big shot, score! That's John Merrill! Merrill puts Vegas on top, 2-1!
And welcome in Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on a Friday. Game day, Golden Knights headed to Miami to play the Florida Panthers. A big win last night, 4-1 for the boys. They climbed to 30-11-3, 63 points on the ledger. Going to take on a struggling Panthers franchise, 18-19-6 with 42 points. Clayton Hamilton here along with my buddies, Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, and Frank. Everyone said Golden Knights going to take on the best team in the league. Are now teams going to say, hey, we're taking on the Vegas Golden Knights. They're the best team in the league.
Well, they do frequently take on the best team in the league when they practice over at City National Arena, because they take on themselves on a regular basis all the time.
Nice. I like it. Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, hot take.
That's funny. I'll go with that, yeah. It's like when Dwight Schrute in The Office tried to fight himself, and he was countering all of his punches because he had no idea what was coming next.
All right.
So it's good.
It's good. I like it.
The goal. Chris and I just did a video that's going to be going up on the website very soon.
LVSportsNetwork.com.
That's correct. And we talked in jest about how everybody predicted this, because if you remember the narrative after the Nashville game was that the expansion draft rules were way too much in favor of the Golden Knights, and George McPhee had to be asleep at the wheel to not put a contender on the ice, because that narrative started after the expansion draft before the season, when everybody prognosticated that the Golden Knights would be the number one team in the NHL.
Yeah.
Oh, if it's weird to you that didn't happen, it's because that didn't happen. Because no one saw this. No one was complaining about the rules after the expansion draft. Nobody, not one person.
Not that I can remember for sure. And I heard people around here, and I know the local newspaper, the Review Journal, they had people posting how many wins. I think the most was 32 mm-hmm. or something like that.
Yeah.
So I know one person had them at 20 wins for the entire season. So people did have right around this number of wins. However, they had it for at season's end, not with 38 games still to play.
That's right. Game number 45 tonight. We're going to have the pregame show right here on Fox Sports Radio. Frank and I will be down at Born and Raised on Warm Springs to bring you all of that, the intermission report, the postgame show as well. And then this weekend, we'll be at Parkway Tavern in Henderson on St. Mark's Street.
Have not been down to that.
I have
one,
not
so
been
I
down there.
I do not know exactly where it is.
First time for me. It's behind the Sunset Station.
Yeah, it's basically Mark's and Warm Springs.
Okay.
I was down there yesterday. It's a very nice establishment, and you guys are going to have a lot of fun there.
Yeah, so we will be there on Sunday. But the game tonight, 4 o'clock, pregame 4:30 for your puck drop. Gerard Gallant returns home, Frank.
He does return home. Got the victory at T-Mobile against them. You know that the team would love to win this game for him. And again, it's not just Gerard Gallant. Jonathan Marchessault and Raleigh Smith are reportedly very excited about going back to their old stomping grounds and playing against their former team as well. So I think the team will be up tonight, and I'm sure the goalie will be up because I believe Malcolm Subban will be getting the start, and he knows that he's not going to get the bulk of the work, but when he gets an opportunity, he has certainly made the best of it up to this point, and I think he'll be excited to try to get a victory down in Florida for his coach and his teammates and everybody, and let's face it, for himself as well.
Let's take a quick look at the way things unfolded last night. We will start with our play of the game, which is always brought to you by Best Mattress. It was David Perron. Play of the game, Best Mattress, Best Service, Best Selection, Best Price Guaranteed. David Perron.
Banks it down the boards for Paquette. Angling to reset. Throws it down the right side. Perron with a lane. Walks in. Curl and drag. Rush shot. Score! What a move by David Perron, who snaps it in. His 10th of the season to give the Golden Knights a 3-1 lead.
David Perron with the beautiful toe drag. The shot past low stick side on Vasilevsky. What a gorgeous goal.
Not only a gorgeous goal, and we talked about it last night in the post-game show, and when I got home last night, I watched the game again. Obviously, we watched it live. We saw a lot of it while we were doing the post-game show. And then I watched it again last night when I could really sit down and just like not have to watch it as a somebody covering the game or whatever, but just to enjoy it. And as I saw that move, it impresses me more every time I see it. The pass from England to set that up. Perron taking it and not rushing himself and thinking, I have to go breakneck speed to get to the net. He actually played the defender who was coming in trying to help his goalie out, used him to shield him a little bit, did the toe drag, and then put the shot right on. It was a classic veteran-type move that not everybody could do, but he used everything to his advantage, buried the puck. It was just, as they say in hockey, it was a beauty.
Silky mitts. I mean, it was such a good toe drag. And using the defender as a screen like that, Vasilevsky couldn't pick the shot up because he had no idea when the shot was released. And that was by design. Because of the toe drag, because of how the angle was with the defender's leg and all that, if a goalie can't see the release point of a shot, they're going to have a really hard time stopping it. That's why David Perron was able to score in that situation.
Yeah, Vasilevsky, it seemed to me, actually probably would have had a better chance stopping it if the defender didn't come over and try to help him out, and it was just one-on-one. That would almost be like a penalty shot. He does it. But like you said, like we mentioned here, and I know we talked about it last night, Clayton, because he waited and was smart enough to let the defender come over there thinking, I've got to help my goalie out, he used him as a screen and made it that much more difficult and the goal that much easier with the pinpoint accuracy that he displayed.
And the great vision and the good pass by Derek England to start that play. We've seen the Golden Knights be so good in transition. And Derek England, he factored into the scoring early, just 56 seconds in, getting the assist, his 100th career point in the NHL. And Derek England is your player of the game. Player of the game brought to you by Brankus Team Realty, your home sold, guaranteed, Derek England.
Deal with a wrist shot right off the draw. Vasilevsky able to take care of it. David Perron on the wing. Snaps it back out high for Derek England. Long wrist shot, score! James Neal down low had the deflection, and his 19th of the season gives Vegas the lead in the opening minute.
And Derek England with his 11th assist on the year. He would get his 12th later in the game, as we just heard with David Perron. But a good night all around for the unofficial captain of the Golden Knights.
And kudos to Dave Eagle Eyes Gosher there as well on that call, because the original score sheet had it. ESPN had it on their site. NHL Network had it on theirs. They had England with the goal. I think the official score in the building down there had Derek England with the goal. He immediately saw that it was tipped by Derek England. So Gosher makes the call, does a great job on that one. And Derek England, 2 assists last night, certainly earning that contract extension that he's gotten. But nice to see James Neal back on the scoreboard there.
The thing I like about Derek England is that he's just an offensive dynamo. It took him a little while to get going, but you come back home and all of a sudden the cooking's just a little bit better, everything's a little bit sweeter, life is a little bit better and greener, and all of a sudden Derek England is looking like Shea Theodore.
And also too, it's something that you've talked about a lot, Ryan, about people getting an opportunity to be different folks. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Derek England was looked at as a healthy scratch for a lot of his career. He was looked at as a pair of fists, some mm-hmm. mitts, and he's here. He has the opportunity to do new things, and he is.
Zero fights.
Mm-hmm.
Zero.
And not only was he a healthy scratch a lot in the NHL, this is a guy that not only dropped down to the AHL, but the ECHL right here in Las Vegas. And luckily for Vegas and this community and for the Golden Knights and their fan base, he fell in love with this town. He was going to make this his home, whether he was with the Golden Knights or not. George McPhee saw something to him, said, yeah, let's bring this guy in. He helped all the other guys get comfortable, maybe easier and quicker than they would have otherwise. Maybe helped the blending of the team and the chemistry and everything. He has really been one of the pieces that has really put everything in place for everybody here, making it an easier transition for all these guys that came from all the different teams out here. They don't have a captain on this team, but if they did have one, he might be one of the guys that you definitely want to put right in that conversation, because he has been a leader on and off the ice and a great piece here. And congratulations and well-deserved on that contract extension.
And it's funny because we're halfway through our inaugural season, but if there was ever a guy that's going to be a lifer when it comes to the Golden Knights, it's going to be Derek Englund. The one-year contract extension about midway through is probably what you're going to see for as long as he wants to continue playing, and why not? I mean, the guy's been fantastic for this team, like Frank talked about. It's all the intangibles. It's off the ice. It's getting his teammates used to the area, acclimated, all that stuff, but it's bringing everybody together before the season, too. And he was the one that organized the captain's practices. Like, let's not forget about that, that he was the one that got everybody on the ice before they were officially able to practice and welcomed everyone to town. So, you know, you look at this team, they're only as good as how close they are, and they're close for a reason, and a lot of that has to do with Derek Englund.
And so much truth to what you just said, that you figure when his playing career is over, guys, they're going to sit down, have that conversation with him and say, Derek, what do you want to do? You interested in front office? You interested in going the coaching route? Are you interested in broadcasting? What do you want to do with this organization when your playing career is over?
Well, one thing that I can definitely envision him doing is going out and being an ambassador for the team around the city when they do upcoming things, whether it's with first responders, blood banks, schools, hockey clinics, whatever. This is a guy who really has shown that Vegas is his home. He's been out here longer than probably a lot of our listeners out there, probably some of us in here. He's been a resident, I believe, of Vegas for 14 years. He said that he was going to stay here. This is where he wants to raise his family, where he wants to be. And I'll tell you what, Las Vegas and the Vegas Golden Knights fans want him to be here as well.
Yeah, and I lean toward coaching. I do. You look at how he is able to kind of rub off on Shea Theodore, on some of the younger guys, and you use this as an audition for Derek Englund, the coach. And I think if he can kind of mature into that and grow into that, then I don't see why that's outside the realm of possibility that he joins the staff as a coach.
And Derek Englund, certainly proud to have him representing both the city and the team. Great game for him last night. He will roll in with the rest of the boys to Miami tonight. That's going to put a cap on last night's game, 4-1, your victory Golden Knights over the Tampa Bay Lightning. And remember, when the Golden Knights win, you win too. We're going to have an MJ Christian's Diamond Jewelers card to give away, a $50 gift card, so stick with us. We're going to give that away a little bit later in the show, but it's time to look at tonight's matchup against the Florida Panthers, your Vegas Golden Knights game preview brought to you by Raikman Plumbing and Air Conditioning, where a flush beats a full house. We have talked about this team, 63 points for the Golden Knights, composed to the 42 for the Florida Panthers. Homecomings for Gerard Gallant, for Riley Smith, for Jonathan Marchessault. You know that those guys are excited to get out on the ice. Second night of a back-to-back, but a young team pretty close to their bye week, should have pretty good legs.
I mean, it's also helps when you can roll four lines and three defensive pairs, and that's what your style of play is, and it allows you to come into games fresher. So, yeah, I think that the Golden Knights have gotten better every single game since their bye week. Obviously, the Edmonton game wasn't their best game. The Nashville game was a very, very good game, and the Tampa game was an incredibly good game. So I expect the Golden Knights to come out full guns blazing the tonight against Florida, and don't discount the fact that Florida's coming off their bye. And we saw how bad Tampa looked last night. I don't know that Florida is going to be exempt from that either.
Yeah, and you talk about coming off the bye week, and I have to full disclosure out there. I'm not afraid to say when I was complaining and maybe sounded like I was whining a little bit when I said that it wasn't fair that Vegas had to play teams that weren't on their bye weeks when they played a couple games in a row. Well, guess what? Now this is their third consecutive game of playing teams coming off their bye week. So, you know what? Good for the NHL. I guess it is a little bit fair. Maybe I should have looked ahead on the schedule a little bit more. But definitely a good job by them. And kudos to Nashville for kind of circumventing those bye rules to let their goalie not really be coming off a bye week. But the rules allow that. Send them down to the AHL. Keep them fresh. They beat Tampa Bay last night, although I don't think it was because of bye week. I think the better team actually won that game. And I would be shocked if Vegas wasn't 100% ready tonight for the Florida Panthers for all the reasons we talked about. And also for the reason, let's not forget, they win this game tonight, they're in first place in the NHL. They have the same amount of points as the Tampa Bay Lightnings with two head-to-head victories against them. Maybe it's time for that Super 16 and all those power rankings. Maybe we'll see a shift next week. There should be, but will there be? I don't know. But I know regardless of who is or isn't giving them respect, the other teams in the NHL are.
Ryan, last time these two teams got together back on December 17th, Florida got out to a two-goal lead. The Golden Knights stormed back at the end of the first period to tie it up and went on to win 5-2. What did we learn about these two teams on that day that we'll be looking for tonight?
That's going to be tough. I don't know that much is really going to carry over from that game to this game. We learned that the Golden Knights have four lines that they can roll, and all four lines can contribute on the score sheet. We've learned that they frustrate their opponents, and we've learned that if you don't have a bunch of puck-moving defensemen and you don't have a goalie that can really get the communication going, that the Golden Knights can break pretty much any team down on the forecheck, cause turnovers, and beat you in transition. I don't think that that's any different than what they're going to do to Florida tonight. I think Florida's going to play into that because they don't have a ton of pieces on the back end that can really get back and skate the puck out of trouble. You've got Aaron Ekblad. That's pretty much it. You don't really have much else there. So for the Golden Knights, it's going to have to be exploiting the defense of the Florida Panthers, and it's going to be minimizing the third and fourth line for the Florida Panthers, which shouldn't be too difficult because they don't really have much of a third and fourth line.
Yeah, and Florida trying to get back into that playoff run. They're 18-19-6 on the season. They did have a five-game winning streak in December, but coming off the bye week, I'm not sure how fresh they're going to be. Roberto Luongo still not in net for them, but they've had a pretty solid goaltending up to that point. I just think Vegas is the better team, and the better team, I believe, should win the game. That's why I think Vegas should win this game.
Positives from last night that perhaps can carry over is the Eric Halla, David Perron, James Neal line got on the score sheet. They have been absent in recent memory. If they get flying, watch out, Miami.
Yeah, I think it's confidence. You know, those guys needed a big game. They got a big game. And that kind of takes the pressure off. So I expect them to continue to play well. But then it puts a little bit of pressure on the Marchessault line to step up. And not that they haven't been stepping up in the last couple of games, but now there's that healthy competition again. Well, you know, if Marchessault doesn't go out there and score, Carlson doesn't go out there and score, well, Halla's going to score or Neal's going to score. And it becomes this play between each other. Carryover from last game is the fact that you went into the best team in the league, you went into their house, and you beat them. And you didn't just beat them, you dominated them. At all facets of the game, you skated faster than them, you were moving pucks faster than them, you were executing in transition better than they are, and that's the bread and butter of the Tampa Bay Lightning. That's not the bread and butter of the Florida Panthers. So if you're able to do that against a team that's known for that style of play, you shouldn't have any issue going into Florida and doing the exact same thing.
And you know what's what I found interesting, and I kind of like when Ryan was talking about that kind of stuff there, it's not like the Marchessault Carlson line didn't do something last night. They scored a goal.
Right.
Won a quick faceoff, which they were beating the faceoffs, but they win important ones when they need to. They get the goal there. They also had some contributions. We talked about England get 2 points. Other guys, McNabb and guys were involved. Theodore had an assist last night, so the defensemen were involved in everything too. So they were getting contributions from a lot of different places there. The things that didn't go their way and the pucks that didn't bounce their way in Nashville, they kind of got last night, you could say, but in reality, they still missed a couple of glorious opportunities. If Riley Smith buries the 2-on-1 for the shorthanded goal, it could have been even worse for the Lightning fans. And we know that Ryan Carpenter had a beautiful opportunity as well that he fanned on. The 4-1 win looks really nice. In reality, it could have been worse than that.
Yeah, it could have. And the other thing that I want to talk about as far as takeaway from last game is the quick start. So how many times have we seen at T-Mobile Arena this team just run the opposition out of the building in the first 10 minutes? Getting a goal quick on Tampa was the best case scenario for the Golden Knights. And I expect them to have that same focus, that same mentality going into the first 10 minutes of this game. Because you mentioned the last game, Florida was able to put 2 up on the Golden Knights before they scored 5 unanswered. You don't want to have to rely on that. You don't want to have to rely on coming back. You want to implement your game plan from the opening faceoff, and you don't want to relent. And I don't think Gerard Gallant is going to allow anything less from his players in tonight's game.
One thing that I took away last night, and I'd love to get your impressions on this, guys, is that when it was time to kill the 2-on-1, the 5-on-3, when Carlson and Belmare found themselves in the penalty box, two of your prominent penalty killers, who did Gerard Gallant turn to be the one solo forward? And it was Ryan Carpenter. And here's a guy trying to find his way with the Golden Knights, trying to create an expectation level among the coaching staff about him. And what did that say to you that he was the guy that Gerard Gallant turned to?
I think it's confidence in his ability to play up to their standards, right? So he's kind of still of an unknown for us. He's a question mark. We really don't know what we've got in Ryan Carpenter. We know that we claimed him off waivers. We know that there's all this stuff going on, but we haven't really seen him in too much game action. But if you're going to be the one forward on a 5-on-3, it shows that the coaching staff believes in your defensive ability in this game. And that's going to go a long way to developing Ryan Carpenter should he stay here for a long period of time.
And it's also interesting, too, because we don't know exactly what the starting lineup is tonight. They haven't released that. But looking at some projected starting lineups from different sites, it looks like Ryan Carpenter might be a scratch tonight, a healthy scratch, even after that last night. So that says something about the depth of this team as well, that you can take a guy who you did trust to be the forward killing a 5-on-3, albeit only 20 seconds. He was still out there then when it came to 5-on-4. But there were the back-to-back penalties, almost 4 minutes of penalty kill time that you had to have out there, that a guy that you believe in and trust that much, that you're still finding a hard time to get him in the lineup.
And then when you look at the guys that came out on the ice right after that to kill the remainder of the Carlson penalty, it was Eakin and it was Lindberg, two guys that have been, how do I say, questioned a little bit by the media, maybe some by the fan base, but those are guys with defensive integrity, and they may not light up the score sheet, but what they did in that final 40 seconds of the penalty, that's what keeps you in games.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's kind of what Eakin and Lindberg are bred for. They are the guys that you can put out on the power play or on the penalty kill, and you know what you're going to get. Eakin is a fantastic penalty killer. Eakin is also very, very good defensively, and 5-on-5. And we've talked about this multiple times. What makes Cody Eakin so important to this team, it's not goals and it's not assists. It's being defensively responsible enough to where he can cover mistakes by young players like Alex Tuck, like Brendan Leipzig. Those guys that are going to sacrifice a little bit for an offensive chance because they're young and that's their game and that's what they're going to do. Cody Eakin is a great safety net for those guys. Can he chip in offensively? Absolutely. Does he have to in order to be effective? No.
You know what else is great for the guys on this team? That no matter what the media says or questions or anything, it doesn't matter because they're not Gerard Gallant and George McPhee in that. The media was questioning Lucas Pisa having an A on his sweater. Mm-hmm. The media was questioning Braden McNabb being the first one to get a contract extension. The media questioned how good this team was going to be from the start. The media questioned when Malcolm Subban was picked up and, wait, we already have a backup goalie. What anybody else says doesn't matter. As long as they're impressing the guys that make the decisions in that locker room, in the front offices, that's all they have to worry about. And those are the guys making the decisions. And everybody then kind of backs off and goes, well, he's better than we thought he was. And it's like, yeah, you know what? He's as good as they thought they were. That's why they have the jobs they do, and that's why this team is doing what they're doing.
All right, it's good for the team, and it's also good for you, and it's good for you because when the Vegas Golden Knights win, you win too. Remember to listen to us right here, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, after every Golden Knights victory for your chance to win a $50 gift card to MJ Christensen Diamond Jewelers. We are going to give that away right now. A caller, a number 702-876-1340. 702-876-1340. Get your $50 gift card to MJ Christensen Diamond Jewelers. When we come back, Frank Ryan and I are going to look all around the league and talk about some players' place in NHL history right here on the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
Two shots for Vegas. Out at the right point, England shoots. He scores! It was tipped at the side of the net, and Vegas takes a 1-0 lead. Halla finds a loose puck. Up top, McNabb on the left. Right side, Schmidt fires. He scores! Vegas takes a 2-0 lead. Derek Englund plays it up the right wing. Got it to Perron. He's got a lane on the right. He waits. He pulls. He shoots. He scores! David Perron. And the Golden Knights lead 3-1.
Well, Marchessault
Smith and Carlson out there for the Golden Knights, and they're joined by Theodore and Englund off this face-off score! William Carlson right off the draw, and 18 seconds into the third period, the Golden Knights with a 4-1 lead.
And welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Sports Radio. All four goals from your Knights last night, including William Carlson with his 24th.
Thanks to Chris, the nice guy Chapman, for putting that together.
For putting
us.
It all together. Quick look around the league, fellas, and we're going to talk about some guys and their place in the NHL history books. We also will have some tickets to give away to that Columbus game on Tuesday, so stick with us. We're going to have those tickets coming up here in a bit. We will start in Los Angeles, where Dustin Brown had a meeting with the Department of Player Safety regarding his cross-check last night of Justin Schultz of the Pittsburgh Penguins. He was not suspended, fined $10,000.
Obviously, Jeremy Roenick and all of the bleeding hearts for Andrew Cogliano affected the Department of Player Safety into not suspending Dustin Brown for a suspendable hit.
It was pretty nasty.
I mean, like, what does everyone complain about when it comes to the Department of Player Safety? They're inconsistent. This is very clearly a suspendable play. I don't get it.
To me, when I look at both of them, yeah. I'm like, this one's suspendable. Cogliano, if they didn't suspend him, I would kind of be okay with it. But
Cogliano's 2 seconds late in a hit to the head. Yeah. It's a suspension. Dustin Brown cross-checking a guy on his knees in the numbers into the boards is a suspendable play.
Yeah, I don't get it.
In all honesty, I wouldn't have been outraged if Cogliano didn't get a penalty for the hit that he did. I mean, I get that he got one, but the suspension I was shocked by. But yeah, with Dustin Brown's hit, I mean, I know I joke all the time when you have a man down, kick him in that. That's sports. That's what you're supposed to do. I guess in Dustin Brown's world, when you have a man on his knees, just smash his face into the boards because, yeah, it may cost you a couple dollars, but at least it's not going to cost you a game check.
Yeah, I mean, they're both against the rules. Mm-hmm. And Dustin Brown plays on that edge. He plays on that line, and I don't know if he's been suspended in the past. I don't know if
he's been suspended once before.
One time, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, I just don't get it. I don't get it. And then you have all this uproar over Andrew Cogliano just because he's played consecutive games for a long time. It's a hit to the head, but you know what? It's not like concussions matter to the NHL at all. We should let him play because it's a shame that his consecutive game streak has to come to an end because he hit somebody 2 seconds late after they released the puck in the head. That's not suspendable. But Dustin Brown can do this and it's not suspendable. When it is, like, stop with the inconsistencies. Stop with all the people saying, oh my God, they're so inconsistent, complaining about it, because this is what it is. This is what ends up happening. Is they feel all this pressure to appease the people that are calling them out that they don't suspend someone that should be. Dustin Brown should not play tonight.
And at least Duck fans can now feel happy that a King got away with the hit and their player's the guy that got suspended. So I want to throw this into real quick, a little sidebar to that thing where sure. You just talked about the streak that nobody cares about, but all of a sudden people care about it just because of the suspension.
Right.
Do you know who now has the longest streak of consecutive games?
Phil Kessel.
No, it is Keith Yandel.
No.
Yandel will be playing his 677th consecutive game tonight, the longest current streak in the NHL.
So clearly Keith Yandel is going to go out and have a hit that's suspendable, and then the Department of Player Safety is going to suspend him, and then this whole thing is going to go over.
And then
again,
Tampa Bay is going to get away with a cheap shot.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
And you can hear it all here, right here. 4 o'clock pregame, 4:30 for your puck drop. Tonight, a clean hit that did a little bit of damage happened right at T-Mobile Arena. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins out 5 to 6 weeks with cracked ribs after he was on the receiving end of a Braden McNabb slobberknocker.
That was not suspendable. That was a clean hit. Man, that shows you just how hard Braden McNabb hits. And Ryan Nugent-Hopkins immediately, you could tell he wasn't right. It's unfortunate. Hopefully he has a speedy and quick recovery.
And now you know exactly why. Alex Tuck said the only thing in hockey that he would fear is a hit by Braden McNabb, but he doesn't have to worry about that because he's not allowed to do that in practice.
Bo Horvat of the Vancouver Canucks has been medically cleared to travel with the team. He is in Edmonton with the club right now. They had not given a timetable on his return to the lineup. He has missed 17 games with a broken right foot.
I want to see how good Brock Besser can be with another good player in the lineup like Bo Horvat, because if Brock Besser's this good with the Sedin twins, I mean, I can't imagine what his upside is. I really can't.
I'm trying to decide if that was a compliment to Bo Horvat or a shout at the Sedins.
Both.
Another bit of news out of New York. Kevin Shattenkirk out indefinitely for the Rangers. He will have surgery on his left knee.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, he's been so good for every team that he's gone to since the St. Louis Blues.
Well, the thing about it is he said that he's been suffering this all season long, and he said it's now just finally time to get the surgery done so that it won't affect him and that he can be back in the lineup for when the games really count and really matter. So obviously he's assuming that the Rangers are a playoff team. He wants to be back for the playoffs and when the team needs him, maybe for that playoff run at the end of the season. But it sounds like they were thinking about doing this a while ago. But he said, look, it's not getting any better. It's got to get done, so let's just do it. The only thing I'm questioning is, since they made that decision that they're going to do it, I'm not really sure why they're waiting all the way till Monday to do it. Why not just do it today?
We also have some breaking news out of the nation's capital, where the Montreal Canadiens will arrive to play a professional ice hockey game against the Washington Capitals. And Ryan, am I led to believe that there is going to be an anti-Niemi sighting?
I guess in the NHL in 2018 there is. That's weird, but Antti Niemi is going to start in goal for the Montreal Canadiens. Like, if you had to pick the goalie that you were going to put on the ice that told your opponents you didn't care about 2 points that night, I still think there might be somebody. No, it's only Antti Niemi. Like, you put him out for a guaranteed loss.
At least they don't have a lot of offensive firepower there in Washington. Just Ovechkin and TJ Oshie and
Kuznetsov
and you know, a couple of...
Backstrom. John Carlson. I mean, Braden Holtby might score a goal tonight.
Yeah.
It's possible.
That'd be great.
With Niemi in.
Just as Kucherov is only one goal behind, now tonight Ovechkin gets a hat trick because Antti Niemi's in.
That's
no,
right.
Like, we say all this, but, you know, and...
He's going to pitch a shutout tonight.
Yeah, no, he's going to have a 50-save shutout. That's it's going right. to be ridiculous.
He's going to do his UC Soros impersonation and throw a shutout.
It's going to be 700 people at the book with a losing ticket in their hand saying, how did that happen?
Yeah.
How did that happen? Last night, a ceremony in Philadelphia where the Flyers retired number 88 of Eric Lindros and then came back to beat the Toronto Maple Leafs, who got a 2-goal lead on them. They came back for a 3-spot to win the game. And Eric Lindros, did you ever think you'd see the day where the Philadelphia Flyers would honor Eric Lindros, because things went sour so fast between he and that organization?
Yeah, considering how much they hated each other, no, I didn't. But, I guess I could. He meant a lot to that organization. He was part of some really good years in Philadelphia, and he centered one of the best lines in hockey for a long time. It's really, really unfortunate that for such a big guy, he couldn't keep his head up. Mm-hmm. And like I know that sounds so old school to say, like, oh my God, keep your head up, kid, you're going to get rocked. And it's just, but it's so true. When you are a big man and you are playing a smaller skilled game, you have to be aware that people are going to try to take you out. And I honestly believe, if not for the injuries, we would be talking about Eric Lindros the same way that we talk about Mario Lemieux, the same way that we talk about Wayne Gretzky. I don't think the numbers would have been anywhere close to those two players, but I think his impact on the game and what he could have accomplished had he been healthy in his prime would have been outstanding for his era.
Yeah, and the reason I'm not surprised is because there's an old adage out there, time heals all wounds. The Blackhawk players weren't welcomed at the Chicago Stadium until management changed and the guy that owned the team passed away. UNLV basketball, their program was, after Tark left, there were some players that were having arguments in that. When times change and there's different people coming in and running the show and this and that, all of a sudden they kind of remember the past and they'll bring stuff back in. So the sad part to me is that it did take this long. The pleasant part of it to me is the fact that at least they didn't wait till the guy had passed away or something like that, like we see sometimes. Mm-hmm. And that's why, when we were talking about it here, Willie O'Ree needs to go in the Hall of Fame now.
Right.
Now. Do not wait for him to pass away and then say, you know, the guy really did have a pretty big impact. Do the stuff while the people are alive and they can enjoy it and do it. So at least they did that part right. Shouldn't have taken this long, but time truly does heal all wounds. In most cases.
And a lot of it probably had to do with, don't forget about the 2012 Winter Classic, where he came back, played in the alumni game. He was greeted with great welcome and open arms by the fan base, that started to help heal the process. But, Ryan, we had spoke about Willie O'Ree earlier in the week. We didn't get to get your thoughts on that,
sure.
About how Frank's right. Put him in the Hall of Fame now while he's alive, yeah. And he can be celebrated and shown his appreciation to.
Yeah, and the only thing that I was going to add to that is, if you don't want to put him in as a player because he only had 45 NHL games, that's fine. Don't put him in as a player. There's a category in the Hockey Hall of Fame for the builder, and that is somebody that has helped build the game, grow the game into something more than just a hockey facility, a hockey team, a hockey game. So put him in like that. I agree with Frank. Do it while he's here so that he can really you talk about how important he was to the game, and then you sit there and you would guess Willie O'Ree is a part of the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes as a shock when you find out he isn't. So do the right thing. Do it now while he can benefit from it. Everyone can benefit from it, because it's not going to be the same if you wait too long and all of a sudden it's his kid up there giving the acceptance speech and not Willie O'Ree. And really quick on Eric Lindros, last thing I've got to say on this, I think with the information that's come out about concussions in the last 5 or 6 years, I think that's changed a lot of fans' perceptions of Eric Lindros and what he was dealing with in a time when concussions really weren't known and everyone just thought he was being a big, quote, baby. So I think once you get more information on what he was dealing with away from the rink and his injuries, I think that the Philly fans especially start to embrace what he did a lot more.
And I want to just throw this in real quick about Willie O'Ree as well. Like we had talked about, and Ryan, when you weren't here, but we're glad to get your input on that. It's the Hockey Hall of Fame, not the NHL Hall of Fame. He may have only played 45 games in a couple seasons in the NHL. The guy had a 30-year career, and he's been a mentor and a coach and that kind of stuff for communities and everything all over the place. He belongs there. Enough with just once. Oh, it's MLK Day. Let's talk about Willie O'Ree. Oh, it's Black History Month. Let's devote one day to him and tell his story and then forget about him again. Do it now. Do the right thing. Gary Bettman, do the right thing.
Yeah, I could not agree more. And those two guys, I said, different circumstances but similar in how your appreciation for them has grown over time. And I think, Ryan, that's such a smart take about Eric Lindros and people understanding the process that he was going through and understanding that those nights that he was fuzzy and wobbly were not due to a lack of want to or a lack of effort or a lack of toughness. That, you know, concussions, we've seen what it's done in the National Football League over the course of these guys' lives. And for him to still be able to go out and to produce at that level despite all the things that were going on inside his brain is commendable.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, again, it's one of those things where you have to take the era, you have to take what was going on at the time. I mean, we saw Paul Kariya nearly get decapitated by Kevin Stevens Scott Stevens in a Stanley Cup final game, and he missed a shift. He came back out and played with a concussion and was never the same player again. And we don't understand that until now, until we see Sidney Crosby get hit in the head and miss a season and a half. We didn't know what we know about concussions then, but now that we do, we can look back with a different lens on Eric Lindros.
And we will certainly do that. So congratulations to Eric Lindros. If you would like to go and see the Golden Knights play the Columbus Blue Jackets on Tuesday night right down at T-Mobile Arena, give us a call right now, 702-876-1340, caller number 20. You're going to go see the Blue Jackets play, caller number 20. When we come back, we're going to look at Henrik Lundqvist and where does he fit in hockey history. And welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Special congratulations to Fernando winning those tickets to see Columbus. We'll have some more tickets on Monday to give away. Clayton Hamilton, Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, 4 o'clock for the pregame, 4:30 for the puck drop. Golden Knights and the Panthers this evening. And let's take a quick look, guys. You know, I like your perspective on goaltender Henrik Lundqvist, who beat the Philadelphia Flyers on Tuesday, gave him 20 wins for the season. That made Lundqvist the first goaltender in league history to win at least 20 games for 13 consecutive seasons. When you think about Henrik Lundqvist, where do you think about him in the pantheon of NHL goaltenders?
That's tough. That's really tough. I look at Henrik Lundqvist as being at least top 10. I don't know if I can go as high as top 5, but top 10 for sure.
I'm right around the same area there. I think he's been an exceptionally good goalie on teams that have been so-so, I mean, maybe a little bit better than average, but not necessarily Stanley Cup contenders, although they have been to the Stanley Cup. But Henrik Lundqvist, 426 victories right now. He's got 3 years left on his contract. He's 35 years old, so that puts him around, if he could win 20 games for each of those remaining years, around 490, close to 500 wins. So he's got the wins. He's got some stuff, but I don't see him ever winning a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, do you hold that against him, that he's not won a Stanley Cup, when you look at, you know, Martin Brodeur with 3, Patrick Waugh with 4, Dominic Hasek with 2, Eddie Belfour with 1?
I don't know that I hold it against him, because he's played on the New York Rangers, and they have pretty much wasted his entire prime. I mean, they made the Stanley Cup Finals one time. They lost to the Los Angeles Kings with Henrik Lundqvist, and they had plenty of teams that were good enough to make it, but needed another piece or two. But because they overspend and typically get guys that are on the back half, the declining half of their career when they sign as free agents in New York, I don't know that I fault him for not being able to get it done in the one appearance that he had with probably the weakest team that he had going into that final.
Yeah, in a weird kind of way, I actually commend him more for getting to a Stanley Cup final with the teams that he's been on. I think he's the reason that they got there. They have had some good players, and like I said, they've had good teams, but not necessarily great teams. But I'm still not ready to put him in the top 5.
And just one Vezina trophy, despite being a finalist 5 times in his career, but still more to come from Henrik Lundqvist, so we will see what happens over the rest of his career. A big weekend for the Golden Knights. Florida Panthers tonight, 4 o'clock for the pregame, 4:30 for puck drop, and then 3 o'clock, right? 3 o'clock on Sunday.
So 2:30 pregame.
2:30 pregame. If you have one of those folding schedules, it was misprinted on there, and you might think it starts at 2, but it really doesn't. It starts at 3 on Sunday, and Frank and I will be down at Parkway Tavern down in Henderson, so come by and join us, and look forward to seeing some Golden Knights. Maybe we'll come home with another 4 points, Frank.
And you might be able to register to win some tickets down there as well.
Exactly, so stick around. We'll be back in an hour, but the T.C. Martin Show, the doctor, is next.